You're listening to Trek FM.
This episode of To The Journey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 150,000 titles for your tablet, smartphone, and desktop. Support the show and get a free audiobook of your choice by visiting audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by TrekFan. TrekFan isn't just a Star Trek fan club, it's a challenge. You will explore new places, learn new things, and collaborate with other fans to solve puzzles, complete real-life mission objectives, and win great prizes. And in the spirit of an enlightened future, TrekFan is absolutely free. Not just free to play, but completely free. Find out more by visiting fm.trekfan.org.
Hi, this is Garrett Wong. I played Ensign Harry Kim on Voyager, and you're listening to Trek FM.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To The Journey.
To the journey!
I'm your co-host, Tristan Riddell, and with me, as always, is...
Charlene Schmidt.
And today, we are talking about something that's a little special and a little outside of the universe, but still within. And that is, Char and I are going to talk about what we would have liked to have seen in terms of crossover in Voyager, and also what kind of actors we wish we could have seen make a guest appearance in Voyager. Now, we've seen a lot of people, a lot of famous actors make appearances throughout the years in Star Trek. And we've also seen a lot of crossovers, most notably Spock in Unification in The Next Generation.
Or Scotty
in Relics. And we also saw Riker in Voyager, and we also saw Julian Bashir in TNG. So there's a lot of things going back and forth. What we're going to talk about is what we wish would have happened. And I have some of my favorites. I tried to keep it to people who were famous during the time. Like, you could easily say, like, oh, it would be cool if Michael Fassbender was on Voyager. Well, no one knew who the crap Michael Fassbender was in 1995.
This is true, but then you've kind of got the conundrum where if they were big in the 90s, they might have been off doing other shows.
Right, but the thing is, if they're off doing other shows, they could squeeze in, you know, they could squeeze in a 1 week where they had off, or like they could show up for a couple of days. It didn't have to be like a big prolonged thing, but what kind of rules did you follow? Because I followed the 90s rule, but what did you follow?
I just went with names of actors primarily that we've seen in some way in Star Trek and thought, you know what, I want to see more of them.
Okay.
That was the primary methodology I went for. And we talked about doing possibly like a character crossover as well with the, you know, Voyager universe along with the rest of the Star Trek universe. But you know what? To be honest, we had so much character crossover that I feel like anything more might have been overkill, for one. And then two, I feel like they did a good job with what they did. I mean, we had Barclay, we had Troy, Riker, Q, Quark, and Caretaker. I mean... And I'm missing some others. They're everywhere, along with guest stars who have crossed over and played various roles, too. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about them as well. So one thing I want to do is actually acknowledge somebody who came up not quite with this topic. We're doing an offshoot of it. But a while back, listener Zach Selter suggested to us that we talk about Voyager's contact with the Alpha Quadrant. And so... we're kind of doing that, and we're kind of not, but I wanted to give him a shout on the show anyway, because, if anything, his suggestion inspired this topic.
With that in mind, I would, like, you did mention a few of the crossovers, but I feel like we should do a little bit of a service before we get into our selection. I feel like we should talk about some of the most notable ones, and even some of the ones that you might not have thought about or even realized. One episode that gave us a lot of crossover... and also, you know, specifically and deliberately, was the episode Flashback.
Oh, yes. Yes,
where
indeed.
Where we went inside Tuvok's memories and Janeway hitched a ride. We saw Kang, Janice Rand, and Hikaru Sulu all in one episode.
Right. Done very deliberately, as you said. And, you know, it was fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was really cool to see... Sulu looked like he didn't age that much at all in between the time between Undiscovered
He's
Country.
He's immortal.
And yeah, and even though it wasn't that big of a gap of time between Undiscovered Country and Voyager, it was still pretty cool to see him there. And in terms of next, there's one other person from the TOS era, and that's T'Pau, that we saw briefly in Darkling.
You are right. Yeah.
We saw her in, in Enterprise as well, in Awakening and Kishara. Mm-hmm. And of course, we all know the episode from TOS. One of the big ones moving into TNG would be William T. Riker.
Of course.
From Death Wish, which is probably my absolute 100% favorite crossover of all time, because he comes on and goes, "What the hell is going on, Q?"
As you do when you're William Riker, you put your leg up and you ask, "What the hell is going on?"
I love Jonathan Frakes so much. And we also saw Geordi LaForge in Timeless.
Yes,
Deanna
we did.
Troi in three episodes, Pathfinder, Lifeline, and Inside Man.
Along whose cat Barkley. Is Neelix. Now that is my favorite crossover.
Oh, that's your favorite one? Is the Barkley
the fact
one?
That Barkley named his cat Neelix.
I met a person the other day who actually did name his cat Neelix. And
really?
What's the funny part is that he's a Star Trek fan and he's a Voyager fan, but not a hardcore Voyager fan.
Okay.
And so he didn't know that Barkley named his cat Neelix.
So he just kind of did this on his own volition, didn't realize it had been done before. It wasn't an homage.
It was not an homage. He thought the Neelix name was a great name for a kitty.
Well, you know, it kind of is. Like Felix.
I think so.
Neelix. They've
Absolutely.
Both got that feline ix thing going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and as long as we're going in the TNG vein, we also have the Ferengi. That made it. I can't remember their names right now, but who does?
The wormhole guys, yeah. And Boothby.
Yeah.
We had Armin Shimmerman in Caretaker, of course, because Voyager was parked at DS9.
I almost completely forgot that one. Yeah,
there's been a lot of crossover. Yeah. We're not even scratching the surface either if you want to count guest stars.
Yeah, like absolutely. Like if you just want to count guest stars, it's crazy. I mean, yeah, with Quark if you're going to bring up Quark, you got to bring up Morn. I mean,
of course,
he was there.
He's always there.
And one big one, which is a character who's kind of become a little universal, and that's the Borg Queen.
This is true. Played at least in part by Susanna Thompson, who has played several roles on Star Trek. Again, one of those guest stars that Trek used a lot for a lot of different roles, kind of like Susie Plaxen, kind of like Jeffrey Combs, kind of like Von Armstrong. As well. If Jeffrey Combs is the king of guest spots and recurring roles on Star Trek, then Von Armstrong is the prince, because he's next down in line, I think.
I feel like we've talked about this before, but I remember the first convention I ever went to, Von Armstrong was appearing, and I never heard of Von Armstrong. I didn't know the name. I was like, who's this Joker, and why do I care? And while I was there, I looked him up on Memory Alpha real quick. And holy crap, he is all over the place.
He really is. I mean, think about just Voyager alone, okay? He played one of my favorite Romulans, Tella Cremor, in Eye of the Needle. He played two characters in Survival Instinct. He played Two of Nine and somebody named Lancer. He played a Hirogen in Flesh and Blood, a Vidian in Fury, and then finally he played a Klingon named Korath in Endgame. That's just Voyager.
Yeah, I'd have to say that, like, out of all of those Armstrong ones, I'd say Survival Instinct is probably my favorite, because we got to see more of him, you know, and we got to see... He's not covered in makeup, but, you know, half of the episode he is, and then the other half he's revealed.
It's true, yeah, because he kind of has this split with two different characters, and honestly, I don't even know if Jeffrey Combs has that one on him, playing two different characters in the same episode.
Oh, well, nope. There was towards the end of Deep Space Nine, I know he played Brunt and Weyoun in one episode.
Did he? Okay.
And I feel like he tried to push for a third, but I don't think he quite made it.
He just wanted to live on the set for that week. That's all.
Yeah.
Okay. That amazing. Yeah, that's true. He played several incarnations of Weyoun and then, of course, Brunt.
Right. Okay, so. I feel that is every single crossover that we can think of in Star Trek Voyager from other parts of Trek. I think we got them all, but in case we missed any, let us know. Okay, sure. So let's just go ahead and jump right into it. Let's give each other a little back and forth. How about you go first? Who's an actor that you would have liked to have seen guest star in Voyager?
Okay. You know how you were talking earlier about big actors in the 90s, or at least, you know, people who had their careers going back then? Mm-hmm. Okay. In my research, I found the coolest thing, and I did not know this until today. Diedrich Bader. He was on TNG. He had a very minor role in the episode The Emissary. He's playing on the wood console where Worf is normally at. He has maybe two lines in the episode. But I love this guy as an actor. I mean, he was on the Drew Carey Show at the time Voyager was airing. I mean, that was absolutely very big. He does the Rex Kwon-Do bit on Napoleon Dynamite with his character. I mean, I just really like what he does with his characters. He gives little details. And he was also in one of my favorite movies, Office Space.
I think he's widely known in Office Space. Yeah, I completely forgot that he was in TNG, but I totally remember what you're talking about, because when you brought it up, I was like, that's right, because it's that weird moment when you're like, is that Diedrich Bader? What's going on?
Yes, it is. Yes,
indeed
it is.
And he had this weird kind of like Jerry curl thing going on in his hair.
He might have even had like permed 80s hair. You can't really tell unless you have the Blu-ray, I think.
The cool thing about Emissary was the reason why Worf wasn't at Tactical was because he was pretending to be the captain
of
the ship.
Right.
And it's just, what an excuse to be up there. And it's just, I wish we could have seen a little bit more of him on TNG.
Yeah. Oh, I would have. I just want to see more of Diedrich Bader. I think he's a fantastic actor. But of course, I wanted to see him in Star Trek. Could you imagine him playing an alien of some kind?
So you didn't want him to be that same tactical officer who somehow promoted onto the Voyager crew?
No, I'm talking specifically about the actor, not the character whatsoever. I mean, he was a total no-name guy pushing buttons on the console. Nobody really cared who he was. He was just there to fill space. But the actor, heck yeah, bring him on. He is good. I love just about everything I've seen him do. Well, now what about you? Who would you bring into the Voyager universe?
Well, okay, so I'm going to start off like my top choice, the first name. When I think 90s, okay, outside of Star Trek, when I think 90s, who was huge in the 90s and who was I absolutely in love with and who was a powerhouse? And that would be David Duchovny.
Ooh, score, yeah.
I am a huge X-Files fan, and how can you not be? I mean, the X-Files was just a monster on
it
Fox.
It was. If you grew up in the 90s, you know what we're talking about here. X-Files dominated.
Yeah, if you were born anywhere near in the 80s or the 70s, you were in love with the X-Files. And David Duchovny is just, I think, a fantastic actor. He has had great success after X-Files once he found his show on Showtime with Californication. His mover career, it hasn't been so great. You know,
Gillian Anderson's done better.
Gillian Anderson's done a little bit better in the box office, but not too terribly much. And
but she's been having her own thing anyway. They've both been successful.
They've both
Let's
been
not
successful.
Poo-poo on that.
Yeah. And I think David Duchovny is a fantastic actor. This may be a little bit more of a fanboy moment where I just want to see him. I just want to see it cross some of my two favorite shows. Now, obviously, I wouldn't want Mulder on Star Trek. I want David Duchovny. But at the same time, David Duchovny is such a distinct personality. He has such a distinct presence and look. He wouldn't quite blend in Star Trek. It would be very much, oh, this is the David Duchovny episode.
Right. Kind of like how The Rock has his episode. We would have the David Duchovny episode playing some character, but we would love it. We would eat that up. You know we would. Who cares if it's a gimmick? I want that.
Yeah, I wouldn't hide that beautiful face behind alien makeup. I would want
to. No.
I would.
No, please don't. He's handsome.
The most I would want is a forehead or nose deal.
Plenty of foreheads of the week.
I would absolutely have him be a genuine love interest to Janeway, where he didn't screw her over like Kashuk. You know,
So you want David Duchovny to play a not sleazeball and
yes,
kiss on Janeway.
Yes, and like he dies at the end or something like that, very epically. And Janeway has a wee bit of a broken heart.
Ooh, you want to punish her so bad, man.
I don't want to punish her. I just want her to have a genuine good snogging where she doesn't feel betrayed.
Well, you're forgetting about Coco. And the monkey.
Well, They didn't snog.
You don't know that.
That's right, we don't. In Char and I's headcanon, they
totally consummated. You know they did.
They consummated several times. So
over and over.
Okay, so what is your second choice?
Okay. Here's another one that I think would have been very relevant to the 90s and also Star Trek, because how about Carol Strachan? Do you know who this is?
No, I don't.
Okay, this is the guy, the really tall guy, who played Mr. Hum on TNG, Luxana Troi's assistant. He actually did have a role on Voyager, as I found out. He was hiding under a big costume, though, because he played the Spectre in The Thaw. And Memory Alpha describes the Spectre as a cross between Bigfoot and a dead corpse, and is 9 feet tall. So we had no idea it was him underneath this thing. And if you look up a picture, it's just this big apparition thing, you know, as one of Fear's manifestations, you know. And lo and behold, he was there. But I would like to see him do something that he's not hiding behind.
Okay.
Because he's so tall, I think he would have, for one thing, made a fantastic Corrosion.
Huh, that would have been interesting. He might have been a little too skinny.
Maybe, but you could pat him out, you know?
You're right.
Do that. But also, you don't have to put makeup all over the guy either. There was probably some way they could have put him in had they just thought about it, or had they had the right role for him to audition for. And that would have been a cute little thing for those of us who are diehard Star Trek fans to say, oh, that's Mr. Hum!
That would have been interesting because he's so recognizable. He's
very distinct, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, even if you do put him in some makeup or you dress him up really nice and he's very, like, nothing like Mr. Hum, you would still be able to tell. But I think with this guy, it would be a good thing, which I have to say, unlike Aaron Eisenberg when he played Nog the Kazon, mm-hmm. I think this guy has an advantage over that. This could be a crossover done right.
Gotcha.
Now, how about you? What's your second choice?
Well, my second choice is there was a show that was very popular in the 90s. Well, I mean, it had its following. It's kind of not exactly a cult following, but a loyal following. And I think it only lasted about 4 seasons, had a few TV movies, and that was The Pretender. Did you ever watch that show?
No, I didn't. So for those of us who are uneducated, what's the show about?
The Pretender is a show that people really should investigate. It's I cannot remember for the life of me if it's on Netflix Instant Watch, but it's probably on Hulu if you have it. And it's about a corporation who steals a child, essentially, this genius child, and they do tests on him for his entire life, where they keep him in a place called the Center. And he is basically a part of a think tank, and he's forced to be a part of a think tank from the age of 8 on until well into he's an adult, and he's not able to escape until he's an adult. And he goes around the United States helping people under a different name each week, because one day he could be a doctor because he's that smart, or the next day he could be an engineer because he's that smart, and then the week after that. So they put him in a different profession while he's trying to evade the Center, and the Center's trying to watch after him. So with all of that information put together, Michael T. Weiss is the protagonist in The Pretender, and he's a very talented actor who didn't really get much success outside of the show. And he's done a lot of voice acting, which I've been really happy about. And the reason why, like, he's very versatile because he had to pretend to be in all these different professions and actually mm-hmm. look like he knows what he's talking about.
Sure.
I feel like he would have been able to fit right in Star Trek, because he showed that he is, as I said, he has that versatility, and he can blend in quite well to another cast of people, another cast of characters, and different kind of situations. And I would have loved to have seen him in a sci-fi scenario.
That would be very cool. Yes, and I'm going to look into this show now. It sounds very interesting.
It's very intriguing. It's very well done, and there's a lot of great actors in it. And it's a few episodes, they don't take themselves too seriously, but there's also a lot of dramatic moments that really keep it going. I can't speak more highly of this series.
Okay, very cool.
So hit me with another one, Char.
Okay, how about this? As a fellow Babylon 5 fan, how about Andreas Katsoulis?
you might be overstating my Babylon 5-dom.
Wow. Ambassador Jakar?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, not only did he play Jakar, but he also had a recurring role on TNG as Tomalak, a Romulan.
Yes, okay, yes, 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 absolutely, absolutely.
Now, this could go either way. I mean, there might be some way to possibly incorporate Tomalak. Maybe, if you want to really stretch it, you could. He could have been Telek Remor in season one. Who knows? But I was thinking more just the actor. He obviously doesn't mind the makeup because he's put it on for years and years and years. And right. Unfortunately, he's no longer with us. But back in the 90s, he certainly was. And he was shooting Babylon 5, so busy schedule probably kept him from auditioning for Voyager roles. But let's just say it's 2001 and he's looking for something to do. Voyager season 7 is going on. He brings incredible depth to his characters, whether it's a one-off or five seasons like he had with Jakar. He's just a very good, deep, detailed actor, and I just love the little details he puts in. I notice them and I appreciate them. So I would have loved to have seen him play a role on Voyager.
He's definitely a strong actor, has a very strong voice, a very commanding, very commanding presence, and I think he would have done quite well on Star Trek, absolutely.
Oh, sure, and he was already known in sci-fi, so kind of like how when Walter Koenig crossed over and he played a character on Babylon 5, even though we knew him, you know, as Chekhov before, same thing could happen for Babylon 5 fans. Check out Andreas Katsoulis on Voyager. Now, of course, we did have Patricia Tallman on the show once. She's been in some Star Trek stuff, but I want Andreas.
That definitely would have been a get, I think, of the for the show.
Big time. How about you? What's your next one?
Well, for me, this might be, you know, I kind of hit it pretty hard with the David Duchovny and the X-Files because I'm just so in love with the show. And this one might be a little shameless, too. Because, yeah, it's... Everybody knows who she is. She's done a few other sci-fi appearances and has done some great crossovers and is very talented and is doing quite well on Spartacus right now. Or at least she was. I don't know if the show's still going on. But that is Lucy Lawless.
Oh. You know, this one could be a little bit of a stretch. I hate to say. Just because Xena was so much its own cult thing.
Yes. Yes.
But I love her.
I mean, I cannot argue against you. I mean, you're absolutely right because she was so big in the 90s and she was so iconically Xena that it was hard to see her in anything else at that time.
Yeah.
You know, it's easier, you know, we can see her in Spartacus and other movies and we saw her in Battlestar Galactica and we were like, hey, that's Lucy Lawless. But then we moved on because Xena was not on the air at the time.
Yeah, I think if you would have Lucy Lawless on Voyager, you would have to bury her under 20 pounds of makeup to conceal her as we, you know, at the look as we know her, because if not, oh, that's Xena. What's she doing on the show?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it'd be kind of like if we had Dean Cain. It's like, hey, look, it's Superman, you know?
Yeah, it just would not work.
It wouldn't work. So I completely agree with you. But like disregarding that, like if you could get past the Xena whole persona, I would have liked to have seen her as a contemporary to Janeway, where she's this alien female captain who is just as capable as Janeway, just as smart, just as awesome, but wants to destroy the Voyager crew. I would love to see an adversarial battle between the two of them. I think that would have been really cool.
You know what? We never really got much of that at all in Voyager.
Right.
Janeway was always fighting against men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the ladies of any power or leadership or main guest roles, a lot of times they were just they were weak. They weren't leaders like she was. That is a fantastic idea.
Thank you. I thought so too. I thought it would have been really fun to see that.
Mm-hmm. And then who better than Lucy Lawless, because she is a very talented actress. She could bring it. She could do that, definitely. Oh, man, all the things I want to see now. Can we do Voyager again?
Well, once they have holodecks, we'll be able to recreate these episodes. Okay, Char, how about this? You give me one more actor, and then we'll talk about that crossover that we've been teasing all throughout the episode.
Okay, sounds good. Well, here's... I don't know if this one is kitschy or not, but I would love to see this as a fan. I definitely would appreciate it, because if we would have seen Larry and Janet Nemechek on screen in Voyager, that would have just made my series. I mean, okay, Larry made an appearance in Enterprise on the show that shall not be named. And a similar thing would have been fun on Voyager, just because his wife Janet worked on the show. There's a lot of kind of just nostalgic endearment to the show, I think, for them. Like, when we had Larry on the show, he said Voyager was a very special time, very special place. He really got to know that crew. And just that would have been a really cute, awesome nod. He wouldn't have to do a big thing. He wouldn't have to have a big role. But just to see them in the background somewhere, you could just point and, oh my God, it's Larry, you know?
So you wanted at least like a walk-on role in Voyager.
Just a little something, a teeny, teeny little nod. I mean, I would have loved that with a lot of people, actually. The Okudas, any of the writers, if they wanted to walk on stage and do a little something, something. We just didn't see much of that, and why not? And I don't know. Now that we've gotten to know Larry over the last couple of years, I think he's a fantastic, awesome, fun guy, and just would love to have seen that.
Yeah, I think that would have been a lot of fun, and it would have been really great fan service, you know, because I mean, like, hardcore fans who actually, you know, go to the conventions, know the people behind the scenes, and for the people who don't know that, it wouldn't have affected them in the least, and so no harm, no foul.
Yeah, but then also, it's a really good nod to Larry and Janet for all the work that they did on the show, so there's that too.
Yeah,
just absolutely. A little token of appreciation. He did get in an Enterprise, but I wanted it on Voyager. Okay, so what's your last actor?
My last actor is... This would have been an interesting choice because he had a show in the 90s that was very, very popular, but he wasn't so popular on his own. It was mainly because of the show. Okay. And it's not until today where this actor has absolutely exploded in popularity. You can't turn on the TV or go to a movie without seeing a trailer with him in it or him in the movie itself. And that's Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Oh, this is not who I thought it was going to be. I thought you were going to say Neil Patrick Harris.
No. Okay. No, this Joseph Gordon-Levitt was very popular because in the 90s because of Third Rock from the Sun. This was a phenomenal sitcom that is held up greatly with age and had a lot of funny actors in it, a lot of funny episodes, and even had a Star Trek crossover with William Shatner in the show, making a cameo. He played the big giant head. This guest appearance would have been fun because it's one of those times when you're like, oh, holy crap, Joseph Gordon-Levitt was in Star Trek. Like, did you know that? This huge actor who's absolutely amazing right now was in Star Trek before he was uber famous. That's why I chose that that actor, because he's absolutely talented, has a great career ahead of him, and currently has a great career. And I think it would have been a lot of fun.
Yeah, totally. That's even better than the little trivia bit of things like Nikki Cox, Ashley Judd. Sorry, Chris. And Kirsten Dunst, all being on Star Trek before. We know this. Not every fan knows this, but yes, those people were on Star Trek at some point.
Yeah, and like, yeah, the Nikki Cox one was definitely a hard cameo to spot at the time.
A little bit, definitely not somebody I knew at the time, but certainly have gotten to know, you know, as we've gotten closer and closer to present day.
Well, let's go ahead and let's end the show on our crossovers. Let's our in-universe crossover. Who would you have liked to have seen in Voyager that we had seen in Star Trek before?
Okay. I'm almost embarrassed to admit my selection now because I think it's a little hokey, but forget it. Okay, and here's the thing is, I didn't want a big deal out of this, but I wanted an acknowledgement, and I know a lot of other fans did too. We all know about Ensign Janeway from TNG. And I've seen and heard tons of explanations as to who this Ensign Janeway is and whether or not she's connected to Captain Janeway in some way. And would it have not been cool if the show would have cleared that up? I mean, it could have been just even like a report or like some kind of acknowledgement in a report or something where she'd casually remark, blah, 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 Ensign Janeway did this on the Enterprise, and then she gestures off to Chakotay, no relation. or something, or my third cousin, or something, and then we would know.
Okay, yeah, no, I had actually forgotten about the whole Ensign Janeway thing. I don't, like, the timing, it wouldn't have matched up at all.
Like, not really. Like, I mean, she would have moved on from the Enterprise, because that was season 5, I believe.
But your idea of having it be some sort of relation would have been cool. I think that would have been, to have that kind of a mention would have been really cool. Now, it couldn't have been a sister, but absolutely could have been a cousin of some sort, or in some fashion, where, they talk about some sort of mission, like, on Voyager, like, oh, that's that one time when the Enterprise encountered the blah, blah, blah. She's like, yeah, mm-hmm. I think my cousin, who was an ensign at the time, you know, like, worked on
exactly.
that project, or something like that, yeah.
That's it. She doesn't even have to appear on the show. I just want the mention. I don't need to see Ensign Janeway. I don't really care about her that much. I just want this connection to kind of be retconned a little bit, and let's find out if there is a relation or not. So that's my choice. What is yours?
Mine is way bigger than that.
Do it.
Almost a little embarrassed of how monumental the size is.
Oh boy.
Comparatively to a cousin. my crossover that I think would have been really cool, and I don't know the breadth of it or how involved it would be. Like, maybe it would be just best to be a mention. I don't know if we could see it. The logistics of this would have been kind of hard because the actor was getting older at this time.
Okay.
I would have liked to have seen Scotty in Voyager.
Okay, and how would you have done it?
Hear me out.
Okay.
I don't have it nailed down exactly how it would happen, but in TNG and Relics, the last time we see Scotty, he gets into a shuttlecraft that they give him, because apparently a captain can just do that, can just give away a shuttlecraft.
Apparently. It's a brand new shuttlecraft!
Yeah, he says, like, and Geordi asks him, he's like, you know, are you going to go to that retirement colony? And he's like, oh, no, I'll end up there, but not yet. And so it's all about the journey. You know, it's all about him exploring and continually, even at his age, and even though he's a man separated from time, he's going to continue to explore because that's what he does. But where
knows?
Does he end up?
Exactly. Who knows where he went? He could have easily found
there?
A wormhole. He could have landed somewhere in the Delta Quadrant. You never know. In science fiction and Star Trek especially, anything is possible. And you know what? This could have happened. I think Jimmy Doohan was doing pretty okay in the later 90s. It was the earlier 2000s when he started to go downhill, I think. And so he would have still been capable to have done it, I think. This could have been fun. I know that there's people out there who think, you know, anytime you get a big name like that, somebody really important from the original series, you're like, oh, you're doing the throwback just for the gimmick, blah, blah, blah. I mean, they said that about Flashback, and they like to say that a lot. But you know what? I don't know. I think it's kind of fun to have them back for, I don't know if you want to say one last hurrah, but I don't know. While you still can, why not?
I think, like, the reason, like, I'm glad you put it that way, that, like, it's sci-fi, it's Star Trek, anything can happen. One thing that I was a little afraid of is that it's too similar to the Ferengi episode, where it's a shuttlecraft from the Next Generation that was lost in the Delta Quadrant. You know, do we want to repeat that again? But, if we didn't want to do a direct crossover where we actually see Doohan, and he's all like, oh, I'm, you know, has the same situation as he did in Relics. One thing that might have been cool is that they find a signal and they're like, holy crap, Captain, we found a Federation shuttlecraft on this moon or on this planet. And they go investigate it and they try to figure out, they keep tracking the signal. And he's not there, but they find his uniform and he caught up with some of the natives on the planet. You know, where he was integrated into their culture, and they're like, oh yeah, the wise old Scotty, you know, like he became a prime member of our tribe, you know, that kind of stuff. I don't know, I'm just spitballing right here, but like, maybe we don't have to see Doohan, but that would have been a great connection back to the Alpha Quadrant to see the remnants of his shuttle and the remnants of him.
Or, you know what would have been cool is if you would have wanted to have seen Doohan on camera. You could have gone to the planet and it's like, oh, yes, the great Scotty, blah, blah, he was awesome. And they tell the story of kind of how he came to be in this culture, his time spent there, but he's gone now. He did end up dying or something like that. That would have been kind of fun. That would have been cool. It would have been a nod to the fans, you know, those of us who just love making all these little incestuous connections within the Star Trek universe.
Right.
But, you know, actually, that kind of gives me one more idea. And that would be to have one of the original series stars make a guest appearance, but as a different character.
Okay. Kind of like Rene Auberjonois in Enterprise. Like, he wasn't Odo, but he was a different character.
Exactly. So, like, okay, say you bring Nichelle Nichols on the set to make a cameo, but she's not Uhura. I'd have her play a different character. But we know that she's Nichelle Nichols.
Right.
That would be awesome.
Especially Nichelle Nichols, because you don't really see that much of Nichelle Nichols.
No, so like somebody like Nichelle Nichols or Walter Koenig, not Shatner or Nimoy, sorry. Yeah, get somebody that we recognize, but somebody who doesn't have to dominate the entire screen. You know what I mean?
Right. Someone who can be a guest appearance, but doesn't need to be the headliner in every single single scene.
Just make one really memorable appearance and we will cherish it forever.
Right. All right. Well, I think we had a great list of 90s characters and 90s actors that we would have liked to have seen in Voyager. And please let us know who you would have liked to have seen in Star Trek, either whether it's a crossover or an actor or actress that you really like. Please go to trek.fm/forums, start a conversation. Let's get it going. From there, you can talk to us, you can talk to other Trek FM members, and you can talk to our fans and fellow listeners. So please go.
Absolutely. Yeah, go. Do it now. Pause the podcast and go now. But crossovers aren't the only thing that we're talking about here on Trek FM this week. So here is a little preview of what else is happening on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, Standard Orbit.
They're not going to just do something crazy and be like, what if we did Star Trek, but on Earth? What if we did Star Trek, but, you know, with more explosions or whatever? Wouldn't that be cool? And giant robots.
Earl Grey.
Between a combination of Riker's beard and the spandex, you could pretty much identify what season you were watching just by those two markers alone. No beard Riker? Must be season one. Pinstriping in the background, but Riker has a beard? Must be season two.
The Ready Room.
The Prime Directive is there, and all these captains are constantly having to break it because it's obviously such a rigid rule.
Right.
And you can't tell a story with such rigid rules. So you go back to, it's television, it's drama.
The Orb.
It's never clear, like, is Costa Mojan, is that the name of a person from long ago, or is it the name of a group of people? And so you're saying that in the Prophet's language, Costa Mojan is the name of the Paw race.
Right, that's what they call the Paw race.
To the journey! Think about how horrible it would be perceived by the audience to see Neelix beaten up ruthlessly.
Some people would really enjoy that.
That's true. I'm talking about normal people with hearts and souls. Okay, so those people. Commentary, Trek stars.
This means that really now, sort of, the three of us are responsible for really getting the movie to what it's going to be. And there's a thing, okay, but the movie we write is the movie that's going to get made, which is a really cool feeling, actually.
Warp 5.
You know, Spock and Tuvok are two Vulcans. And so I feel like if you brought 10 more into the room, to say that they're all going to be the same is really a boring race. It's, even if they're logical, they shouldn't have the same personalities.
Melodic Treks.
But when J.J. Abrams came on, he was like, just in like casual
t-shirt and jeans.
T-shirt and, and because he'd just come from the set of
Star Wars.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good excuse.
Continuing mission.
And there's this moment where you pass into it, and you're not only on a TV set, you're on a TV set that is a recreation of the Enterprise, and then that goes away, and then you're on the Enterprise.
Literary Treks.
This is what I expect from the ongoing comics. This is kind of what I think we've wanted, is just to have this crew start to feel like the original series in some ways.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
We have two new iTunes reviews to tell you about this week, and we need to thank Odonata 28T and 17 Brian for not only giving us 5 stars, but for writing a review in iTunes. And one of them mentioned that Voyager is their sentimental favorite. It's mine too. I love all of Star Trek, but Voyager was the one where I really came of age, and therefore it has a special place in my heart. I definitely relate to that. And not only do we thank you for writing the review, but now you are eligible to enter into our promotion, which is where you go to trek.fm/review and tell us which show you reviewed and where, either on iTunes or Stitcher, and you can be eligible for some prizes. So get in on that if you haven't already. The promotion runs now through July 31st, so if you haven't written us a review, now is definitely the time. And of course, this show would not be possible without the help of our sponsors, so let's hear about them.
Our sponsor for the show is Audible.com. Audible is a great way for you to read all the books you've always wanted to, but never thought you had the time for. Audible is the premier source for audiobooks with more than 150,000 titles to choose from, and new titles coming every week. From classics to current bestsellers, Audible has something for everyone. You'll be happy to hear that both Mosaic and Pathways are available from Audible. As a Trek.fm listener, you can get a free audiobook of your choice along with a 30-day trial to see just how great Audible is. Just go to audibletrial.com/trekfm and sign up today. Again, that's audibletrial.com/trekfm, and we thank you and Audible for supporting To the Journey and Trek.fm. And also Trek Fan, a great way for you to take your love of Star Trek and put it into action. At TrekFan, you will explore new places, learn new things, and collaborate with other fans to solve puzzles, complete real-life mission objectives, and win great prizes. Challenges include communications, engineering, and flight operations. There's internet relay chat, free books through Starfleet Academy, and much more. Best of all, it's absolutely free. Not just free to play, but completely free. Find out more by visiting fm.trekfan.org. Again, that's fm.trekfan.org. And remember to use this special URL so they know you heard about it here on To the Journey and Trek.fm.
What are we going to do next week, Tristan?
Well, what we're going to do next week is something that we haven't done for a little bit, but you and I always thoroughly enjoy, and that's making a list. And this list is going to involve our top 5 marathon for season 6. Now, season 6 is a fantastic season, just keeps getting better and better, and we're going to pick the top 5 episodes that we would most like to watch in a lazy Sunday afternoon. It's not the 5 best, it's not the 5 worst, it's just the ones that we think would make a great marathon.
Yep, the ultimate mix. So not only are we doing a list episode, but we're doing the marathon series as well. So combining some of my favorite things that we do on the show.
That's right, but you'll have to tune in next week to check it out. Until then, this has been To the Journey.
To the Journey!